with me. Ephesians chapter, well, the whole book. We're going to look at the whole book of Ephesians in one message. This week in your Bible style, or Bible First Lifestyle meeting, we read Ephesians, 1 Samuel 1 to 12, and then a couple of the Proverbs. If you are, if you're a little bit behind, let's just get you caught up, okay? We're trying to get the whole Bible in a year. Everybody's reading the same thing together. And at the Welcome Center, there are these charts that look like this. You can get one of those. And if you're a guest with us, or you've just come to start attending Abundant Life lately, and you look at that daunting list, you go, oh, I'm never going to make it. Just jump in where we are. So tomorrow, you'll be reading, if I can follow this correctly, 1 Samuel 15 to 19, and then Proverbs 27. Just jump in there. Just start right there. Get in it and start yourself a little bit behind. God's not going to send a lightning bolt because you skip some chapters. Just jump ahead. Okay? The reason you need to jump ahead is because every Sunday, on the Sunday mornings, I'm teaching about the passages we just read. So if you can get more insight, you can get more in-depth, maybe you'll find a few tidbits that you didn't see before. And it's powerful to watch the Holy Spirit work as you read during the week and God starts to speak to you. And then God's talking to me too, or really. And then when I'm preparing, you find like, you said what God told me this week. That's because the Spirit's working, amen? He's working amongst all. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So just catch up, follow along, and it's just a great, great time. Ephesians, let's jump in there. I titled this talk this morning, Stay Full, My Friends. Stay full, my friends. Now, yeah, if you've heard that before, at least heard a derivative of that, say it in kind of a Latin American accent. So I've been watching TV and I see that commercial with the most interesting man in the world who says, stay thirsty, my friends. And I thought, the name got in my brain, it has nothing to do with the Bible, it just came in my brain. So we want to stay full, my friends. Or stay full, my friends. This morning we talk about the fullness. Now you're all thinking about beer, so why did I come to church? I don't even know why I'm here. Ephesians is a powerful book. It's one of my favorites. It's full of theology. It's full of teaching that is both deep and simple. And how many know simple and deep can be the same thing? Sapphia read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's simple and deep. At the same time, Ephesians is full of that kind of thing. And one of the unique features of the book of Ephesians is a phrase. It's a phrase that is repeated at least three times, and significantly so. And those three mentions are about the fullness of the full measure of the fullness of God. In chapter 1 on the screen, it says the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And we'll get into that verse in just a moment. The second time it says that you may be filled the full measure of all the fullness of God. And in chapter 4, he says we can attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. But when I read that, I think God is trying to tell us something, don't you? When he repeats something over and over and over, my antennas go up and say, ah, God, what are you trying to say? First, he's trying to say there is such a thing as the fullness of God. It's real and it's available. We can be full of the Spirit. Now, here's what I know about me, though. I'm kind of leaky. Anybody in the same boat? Man, I can feel so full of God in about 3 days, I feel like my tank is going to leak and I need to get full again. This fullness of God that the Holy Spirit talks about is like if you put a bucket underneath the faucet outside, turn it on full blast, and just let it go. It reaches fullness, but you don't turn it off. Just keep letting it run. And just keep it full all the time. And then it runs over into the thing. That's powerful. And that's the fullness of Christ. That is achievable. The interesting thing about this fullness of Christ is that there is a context in which it's attainable. And we're going to walk through those three parts today. But the context of all of them is in the body of Christ. Not one time in this passage does it say that fullness of the full measure of our Lord Jesus Christ can be attained by yourself. Not one time. You don't go up to the mountain somewhere and you know, assume some kind of monk-like pose, and that's where the real depth is found. No, time away with God is important. Solitude is important. It's one of our disciplines. But when you want to attain the fullness of the full measure of Christ, it is found in the context of the body of Christ. That's why we do small groups. That's why we do what we do. This is not all these groups are not a program. This is not some busy work to try to get you involved in more things in your life. We don't care about that. Involvement doesn't necessarily mean you're growing. Amen? Amen. Doing things doesn't necessarily mean you're deepening. We don't want to just do. We want to deepen. We don't want to just go. We want to grow. And the Bible says that these groups are crucial so that you can attain the full measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, this might sound like a lot of work, but it really isn't. There's another verse, or actually two verses in Ephesians. I love these verses. I want to just quote them for you. The meaning of your outline, I can't remember. It says, that power, this is the power of Christ, that power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He, God, exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. And, later in chapter 2, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. What does that say? That's saying this, that God's power is available to us, and it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. How many can say that's powerful? Any God that can raise the dead, that's powerful. And God, that power is available. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, He was seated at the right hand of God. His work is done. The scripture also says now that we are also seated with Him. In other words, our work is done. If He's seated, His work is done, we're with Him, we can rest in Christ. This thing here that we're doing might seem like, oh, we're going to add something else to my life. No, no. The whole point is that when you walk with Christ, you walk in His already overcoming, already victorious, already achieved might and power. This is not something that should be laborious, but it should be the delight. And you'll find that when you get involved with other people growing in the fullness of Christ, it's not a labor, it's where you find your rest. It's where you find that peace. It's where you find that joy as you interact and as you grow. And iron sharpens iron. And it's better. And it's peaceful. And it's just all the things that God promises, it's right there. So let's look at these three things. First, we stay full in the knowledge of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 2 to 10. Big chunk of passage. Let me just read a couple of verses. Ephesians 1, I keep asking that God will give you wisdom and knowledge. I pray that eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. That's a passage about knowledge. God wants us to grow in our knowledge. He wants you to know more. He wants you to know Him more. He wants you to know how to live more. He wants you to have more wisdom, more understanding. That's God's desire for us. And it says later on that God placed all things under Christ's feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. We get our knowledge, and our knowledge grows as we find our fullness in Christ. Where do we find our fullness in Christ? This passage is powerful. It says that we, the body, are the fullness of Him. That's a powerful thing. I don't feel like the fullness of Him, do you? It's a really, really strange statement. But together, as we all deepen, as we all grow, as we all learn in knowledge, as we all interact together, and as we all grow together, we find out that we start to exhibit the natural fruit of the Spirit, which is Jesus' nature, in amongst ourselves and to the world. Jesus was the only one who had all the fruit of the Spirit perfectly operating all the time. But then He descended back into heaven, filled us with the Spirit, so that not individually, but together, we can exhibit the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's the beauty of the church. As we grow in knowledge, we grow in the fruit. And it says we grow, He wants us to be full of the knowledge of the hope that we profess. First bullet point, you're out in your notes. The hope to which He has called us, it says, is, quote, the riches of His glorious inheritance, where? In the saints. His glorious inheritance is found in and amongst the saints, and His incomparably great power for all of us who believe. It's always in the context of us, never in the context of me. Never in the context of my solitary existence, but always in the saints, us together. That's powerful. How many would say, if they're honest, would say, I've learned more in the context of a Bible study, a church service, a mentoring relationship, than I have just by myself studying the Word all alone. True, right? Because that's just true. And I learned some things in the Bible, but oh man, I sit around with you, I'm in a small group with you, or we're in the church, we start to talk, and they go, oh, I never thought of that. That is so good. That is so rich. That is so true. We find that deepening in the groups as we gather together. And I'll be honest, there's been two times in my life, in my pastoral life, where I felt I didn't need small groups. Twice. Both were mistakes. The first was when I was brand new in the senior pastor of the church, and there was a group of guys that started to meet of our aging pastors in the South Bay, and they invited me to come, and I said, no, I'm just too busy. I've got my thing going on, I'm a new pastor, I'm trying to get it going, I'm working hard, I don't have enough time in my week to get to a small group. And that, they met continually for about 2 years, maybe 3 years. And these were my friends too. And as I started watching them, I started seeing them get closer together. And I started seeing an impact in their lives. And I kind of started hearing their conversations about how they deepened each other. And I didn't have that. And the Lord started to talk to me and said, well, of course, you're not fellowshipping them. I mean, fellowship here, but it was a different dynamic in the pastoral fellowship. And I made the decision and said, I did wrong. I'm going to join that group. And I did, and we began to meet. And that started about a 15-year relationship with these guys, and I'm still in close relationship today with all of them. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit talked to me and that I had wised up. The second is more recent. That Stan and I are busy a lot teaching small groups or leading small groups. And then after we had led the young adult group for a period of time, it just said, you know, man, I'm tired, I need a break. So it was about a year, maybe a year and a half of no small group. No involvement. And I started feeling that drain again. I started feeling that release again that was happening. And Steve Cox leads a morning men's group at a local restaurant, and that fit in my schedule pretty well. I thought, you know, I need this. I'm missing that sharing, and I'm missing that knowledge, and I'm missing that growth and wisdom. And Steve said, sure, come on and join us. And I don't need that group. I'm just one of the guys. And it's so wonderful to get up in the morning and go and share fellowship. I know what it's like to be out of a group and to do what's in a group. And you know what? There's only to tell you, from experience and from the Word, being in groups is where you find the presence of the Lord. Now, I enjoy my alone time with God every morning. I enjoy it. But I gotta have both in my life if I'm going to grow. But God wants us, He needs us to grow in the knowledge. The church, next bullet, is the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. We are that. And if we want to feel His fullness, if we want to know His fullness, it comes in the context of the body. And He does that for us for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. As you learn and grow, as Julius and Rob talked about, some opportunities to serve other people. As you grow together, you'll start realizing we can have an impact together. That's why we do these services. So first, the fullness of Him comes as we grow in knowledge of Him. Number two, we stay full when we are unified in Christ. We stay full when we are unified in Christ. Chapter 2 and chapter 3. That passage says, we are citizens of God's people and members of God's household. That chapter speaks a lot about, chapter 2 and chapter 3, of this division between Gentiles and Jews. And Paul is trying to say, you're one family. You're not two distinct groups. Well, you are racially, you are, you know, by your heritage, but in Christ, you're one people. And Jesus died and rose again to draw us together to make us one people. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19 says this, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, where? To your notes, together with all the saints. to grasp how high, or how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. What's the context of the fullness of the measure of God? Together! That's where it happens. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21, the next verse says this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory, where? In the church. We are filled the full measure of the glory of God in the context of the saints, and when that happens, God receives glory in our midst. That's what we're after. That's what God is doing in these groups. Well, how does the fruit of the Spirit grow and you're less with people that worship grow? You can go and be a solitary Christian, but you'll only grow so much, because here's what I know. How do you know you're growing in patience unless you're with people that force you to be patient? You say, Pastor, if I go in that group, hey, I don't know those people. Some of them are a pain. Some of them I don't agree with. Some of them are not my type. Some of them are just, you know those people, God. Some of them are those people. That's exactly why you need the group. Because Jesus never said that. Only. And if you're saying that, then that's what Jesus has to break within us. So that no matter where we are, we don't have the tendency to go, oh, those people. Jesus never did. He never walked out and missed the crowd and goes, oh, here they are again. They're following me again. Oh, God the Father, would you please make him stop? It was always his people. And yeah, we're different. Yeah, there are things that we may not agree on, but that's the whole point. You get in context with people, and God begins to chip away the things that cause us to want to separate from each other. He breaks away the stuff that wants us to isolate and wants us to make us gravitate to those we like or to those that we are like. And that's not right. Man, I love it looking out at you every Sunday morning. I really do. So I look out at this group, and I can't see any specific group. There's some white people and some Hispanic people and some Asian people and some black people and I don't know if there's any other groups. Some Middle Eastern people. And I look out, and everybody's together. This is a great picture of what the family should look like. There shouldn't ever be those people in a midst, the Church of God. But we have that, and it exists. Do we have an us and them attitude? An us versus them attitude? What we do in the world, right? Those Republicans. Those Democrats. Those rest of the world versus us virtuous Americans. Those rest of the states versus us awesome Californians. Those Warriors fans and then those non-Christians. Whatever it might be. Those coffee drinkers and then those coffee people. If you're new with us, ask somebody if it invites you. You don't believe coffee to say. Small groups are good. Small groups can both be I won't say clicky, but we do need a group, right? In this group, we can't know everybody intimately. It's not possible. You just can't. You don't have time in the day. I mean, I'm with you every week. I don't know all of you intimately. I try to touch them and get to know and know your names, but it just can't happen. So you break it down to groups. Now, that doesn't mean it's exclusive, though. It does create an identity. So small groups are good that way, but it's not exclusive. Everybody's welcome. So when you go to the tables, yeah, there's different groups and different ones gravitate toward different things, but it's not exclusive. What about in the church? We joke about outside the church, but I know pretty much. I can kind of guess the attendance of the church because I know where y'all sit. You all sit in the same place. If you came in one Sunday morning and mixed up where you were sitting, I wouldn't have an idea what to do. Brown's always sit right there. You always sit. William's always right there. Every time. And that's just Paul and Ben, front and center, all the time. That's where they are. And then, my Alphans, and then on you go. How about next Sunday you sit somewhere different? I promise not to be messed up. Because I'm not speaking. Steve will be up here, and it's going to be sit somewhere different and watch how you look around and go, wow, church seems different today. Because you're not like the weirdos over here all the time. This is where they sit. And I'm glad because John has my back all the time. And so sit somewhere else. You get it, right? Even in the church, do we have an us versus them? How about worship styles? Ooh, you're not going to touch that, are you, Pastor? Are you actually going to go there? Well, in our church, we like to be expressive. We like to raise our hands because the Bible actually says lift holy hands. So not just because we're emotional, but we actually like it because it's Bible. And I found this YouTube clip that might be a little entertaining that might help you if you're new with us and you're not quite sure about those people who raise their hands in church or get a little expressive. This might help you. It's a little bit of a tutoring on what to do and what not to do, okay? Why don't you go to the clip?
Expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand raising church. That's what it is, right? So, anybody here go to a hand raising church? Who here does not go to a hand raising church? Some of you are trying, you're like, I can't. I want you to need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand-raisers that we use. We actually have names for our hand-raisers. I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Stay at my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in your pockets, and over the clap. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. Warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Go to big screen. Big screen. Next one's my business is big. If you're a liar, you want that to stop. Jesus loves you. Great. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Doing light bulbs. Got goalposts. Everybody knows goalposts. A lot of heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa. The circle of life. Tim, can't you go higher? Yes, you can. You take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky touchdown. There you go.
Church faith. But in God's family, there's no those people. In God's family, there's no, well, you know what they say, because they're so they, it's us. Amen? Mm-hmm. And as we grow together, God begins to pour out His Spirit in our midst. Number three, we stay full when we are equipped in Christ. We stay full when we are equipped in Christ. Ephesians 4 says this, it was Him who gave some to prepare God's people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach mature unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now notice, the equipping helps us achieve the first 2 points. That we're being equipped to know Him and to grow in unity in Him. And that's what happens both in the sanctuary and in the small groups. So it's like a full circle. We get equipped to do the first two, and in all three, we grow in the fullness of the full measure of the glory of God in His presence. Together, then, we avoid deception and the teaching of deceitful ideas. How many know there's a lot of deceitful ideas out there? A lot of confusing ideas. Lots and lots of different. Well, you know this is true. You look at the Bible, you go, well, that doesn't seem to match up. We need to know our truth more so than ever before. And when you walk in groups, when you walk into the fellowship of the body of Christ, you begin to realize what is true and what isn't true. And you can stand firm in that. It's God's Word. God's Word is truthful. God's Word is reliable. I love the way one person said that many hammers over the years have been worn out on the anvil of God's truth. You can beat on it. You can try to destroy it. God's Word will stand forever. Fads will come and go. Ideas will come and go. God's Word will stand. And so you can avoid deceptive ideas and deceptive teaching. And then the last bullet. From Christ, the whole body is joined together and builds itself up in love. You develop that love in the body of Christ and you build each other up. I know in my small group, I get built up every time I go. As I hear other guys' words and other guys' challenges and other guys' ideas, and I just get built up and say, oh, God, it's so good. Thank you for teaching me today through the others in the group. Last verse. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through the church, God's wisdom will be made known. That's powerful. Guys, we can stay full. And we can grow in fullness. But let me tell you, you will not grow in the full measure of the fullness of God without this. It won't happen. You can try, but it won't happen. So let's join together. Again, we're not looking to add something else to your life. We're looking to help people grow. That's what the church is all about, so we can glorify Him in every way. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me pray, and then we're going to go to our groups, or go to the tables. While I'm praying, group leaders, you can feel free to step out and go to your table. Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for just a powerful time of worship. Thank you, God, for teaching us and for growing us and for the different groups that are represented. There are so many powerful ways that we can grow in this fullness of the full measure of God, and that's right here and right today. We can start. God, I thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. We give you the glory. Help us now, Father, to ignore all of the excuses in our mind. Oh, I'm too busy. Oh, I can't find time. It's just my schedule doesn't work. God, help us to remove those ideas because we know what's important should receive priority. God, help us to make this priority so that we can grow in you. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. There are lots and lots and lots of new groups. Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road, Cupertino, California.